Oh my goodness, that harmless strike where nobody got hurt and they weren't very, very big injuries. I don't count them as injuries. There's a whole lot of subtext here that I'm not sure everybody's hearing. 43 men from just a couple of missile strikes where apparently there were no actual physical, you know, bleeding or broken bone type injuries, all TBIs. You know, potential TBIs, you know, traumatic brain injury, head injuries. Now, there's a couple things this could mean. Maybe the Iranians got really lucky with that strike. Maybe they just hit something, you know, I don't know, maybe they hit a bell factory. Then the percussion and the concussion bounced off each other in some cartoon wackadoodle fucking way and caused all these ridiculously traumatic brain injuries. Now again, I'm not knocking down traumatic brain injuries here at all. I just want to point something out. They're real. And I'm glad that people can actually get them addressed now. It wasn't that way when I was younger. I'm sure I've got half a dozen on my own. What I'm pointing at here is something I notice is that, so either A, they got a really good shot in with their, you know, with what we say they have available to them. B, they have something available to them that we haven't got a fucking clue about, and it causes some serious concussive damages and, you know, maybe even has some chemical aspect to it or something, and they're not talking about that because they're afraid to tell us. Maybe. Or C. And C is the one probably most people aren't going to think about right away. Certainly nobody that wasn't a soldier probably won't come upon this right away. But some soldiers might smell something here. They're just not sure what it is. Well, let me tell you guys. A little background for everybody else. We are overtasked. We have been at war, ramped up, sending guys into harm's way, overseas into battle, sometimes once a year, sometimes once every 2 years for certain units for their entire deployment. Not the case when I was in. I was in during the Cold War. We flexed our muscles. We went and did, you know, lots of training and went overseas and went and trained with people. But, you know, those were scheduled month-long dog and fucking pony shows. These guys are going out and doing the real fucking thing, or at least having to be prepared for, this is not a drill, none of this is a drill, this is all for real. Even if all they do end up doing is drilling and they never even see a roadside bomb, much less see one go off, they're over there. That's a whole different experience, okay? And they're doing this multiple times in an enlistment, and yet some of these guys are still re-enlisting, okay? Maybe because their options aren't good anywhere else, maybe because they've come to enjoy it. Maybe because when you're not doing anything, really not doing anything, your job is just to make sure nobody shoots you. You sit around until that happens or doesn't. But the point is, they start to become accustomed. They start to become accustomed to the way things work. They figure it out. One of the first things you figure out when you join the military is how sick call works. That's the... If you're not feeling well, how you can call in, you know, because you're in the barracks, like, how do you call in sick? You know, I'm puking, I've got a cold, I can't do it today, I injured myself, I need to be looked at. One process called sick call, where you get up for formation, or before formation, depending on the time of the formation, and what time sick call opens, and you line up, and the first thing you do is take your temperature. If you're not feeling well, and temperature isn't 100 degrees, you're going back to your freaking unit. 99.9, back to your fucking unit. 100, okay, stay here, we'll give you a pass. So it's, and it really, you know, it's basically where they go through and they decide how sick you are, if something's broken, blah, 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 blah. It's like triage. Now, you learn that in peacetime. Imagine how well-versed these guys are who've actually been in combat with triage. And triage, just like in sick call, is where you determine who's the sickest in the group, who needs to be seen first, who needs to be sent home for slacking, who needs to be sent off to a specialist. triage same way. Who needs to be seen right now? Who needs surgery now? Who's bleeding to death? Who can hold? Who needs to be medevaced? Okay? Triage. And it doesn't take long to learn triage. Okay? And here we are. They're listening to this whole ramp up. These are guys that have been there for a while. You know? And if you believe the polls, less than half of the military actually supports the president and his actions. And so when this screwball thing came down with Soleimani, these guys had a day or so to think about what they were about to get into. What somebody had decided for them. Because those bombs that came to those barracks that night, they came for those soldiers who were injured. They were aimed at Donald Trump. And those soldiers knew that. And maybe some of those soldiers aren't happy with that. I mean, if you, again, you believe the polls, at least half of the soldiers were unhappy before the strike. The ones that are actually getting shit thrown at them now by them are probably even a higher percentage. They're like, oh, fuck Trump. I didn't know he meant this. Okay. But it doesn't matter how many still support him or don't. Just the fact that people were like, oh, crap, this could really turn into a shooting war and we're already here. There is no, we're going to get sent. We're here. So that was on their minds when they got bombed that night. And because subconsciously, so was triage. Because you see, TBI has become a really big thing. That's not too big of information. No, it's traumatic brain injury. NFL football's got big problems with it. College football has problems with it. You know, people are dying on sports fields. Kids have died. And we know there's a lot of TBI when it comes to roadsides and percussion and even car accidents, you know. Well, you know, if two cars run into each other, there could be traumatic brain injury. Well, if your car runs into a missile or a bomb, suffice it to say, there could be traumatic brain injury. And the military has been catching a lot because they haven't been doing well with traumatic brain injury. Their whole, you know, rub some dirt on and get back in their soldier attitude hasn't really worked well at diagnosing or treating TBI. So they're hyper aware of TBI now. Okay? And they have probably changed their protocols on their triaging. And so now, when you're triaging, the guy whose head hurts is no longer considered a malingerer and told to sit over there until we take care of all the guys that are bleeding. They are immediately set for observation, and if it doesn't subside, evac. It's automatic now. It's just as if they had an open wound that needed surgery that couldn't be done there. Medics cannot treat traumatic brain injury. And so their rule would be to take those cases and medevac them somewhere safer for observation. That having a place where there could be more shelling and thus cause them to jump and move their heads might not be conducive to the healing of the traumatic brain injury. And so they need to be medevaced. Well, it doesn't have to happen to more than three or four guys in your unit before you realize, and you might even be bagging on them for pulling the malingerer and sneaking out because they fell off a truck and now they're going home, or now they're going to Germany for 6 weeks for observation. And then they're going to take their leave from there, and then they're hopefully going to blah, blah, blah. And mad at all these guys. But when that fucking bomb hit, and he did get thrown out of his bed, and he did bump his head, and it did hurt, and even if it didn't, they looked at that and said, oh, I'm not bleeding, but holy crap, my head hurts. Because they knew that it wouldn't make him a malingerer. It's protocol. They don't have a choice. It's a hands-off. The public outcry would be way, way, way beyond the pale if somebody told a soldier that that had TBI, that they weren't leaving and then they died. It just wasn't, they've already got enough, you know, red paper on the military for lack of caring about TBI. So that's changed, okay? And it became an automatic, my hands are tied, blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe this week somebody talked about that idea, because I find it hard to believe that 34 guys spontaneously came up with it. But I wouldn't be surprised if that 34 TBIs, 34 brain injuries, wasn't a sick out. You know, those people that really don't have union protection, they just all go call in sick at the same time and try and affect policy or change in that way by having a sick out. It's not a strike, it's a sick out. Well, I wonder, was this 34 soldiers, was some of them a sick out? Or were some of them just like, fuck that, I'm getting out? Was this a coordinated, hey, let's quietly let those uphill know that we're all going to start getting head injuries and going home, and you're not going to have anybody left to fight here. Was it? Was it just 34 guys, or 30 of the guys, or 25 of the guys that just said, fuck you, self-preservation says I'm doing this, and if I feel better after 6 weeks, I'll come back. But if I don't, I'm not gonna. When the bombs are coming down, and it sounds like this might really be a shooting war, which it did for the first 2 days. I'm sure it really sounded like a shooting war to the ones getting shot at. You know, then a Ukrainian jet goes down too. Trust me, that light headache from the first day probably got to be a really big headache the second day. So, I just wonder if this wasn't a sick out. Because there is no union for the soldiers. But seriously, I think maybe at least some of them, maybe not all of them, you know. But I wouldn't be shocked to find out later. I wouldn't be shocked to see that this doesn't continue happening. That we don't start seeing a whole bunch of guys go, hey, I get in any shit at all and my head hurts, I get to go to Germany for 2 weeks. Maybe home. If I fall out of my bed, my head hurts. Has got to be the refrain for some of the soldiers. And a whole lot more of them once the shit starts getting thrown downrange. And now you may have a whole bunch that, since the shooting fire seems to be over, the shooting fight seems to be over, they may deny that their TBI was a sham. And who knows? In the same breath, I hope that A, none of them got TBI. B, I hope none of them are lying to anybody. So, it's hard to hope that they're telling the truth. But I can do the two, you know. And it doesn't really matter. Again, 34 guys up from zero the first couple of days. This just strikes me as a little more like a sick out. Because if 34 guys, you know, if it had gone on paper immediately that 34 people shipped out that night or that day, I think we would have noticed sooner. But the fact that maybe those protocols call for a day of observation, I know they now give you, even workers' comp and what have you, you know, you've got 24, maybe even 48 hours where you can legitimately still go back and go, hey, I was injured and I didn't think it was anything, but it seems to be still bothering me and I need it looked at. You know, I know they got 24 hours. Maybe they got 48 hours to sit there and think about how much their head hurts. And then say, hey, man, that head injury from last night, it's not gone. And then, boom, the protocol kicks into effect. He has now had head injury, not just an initial with pain, but 24 hours with pain. That changes your status on the protocol. Get him on the helicopter. You're going to Germany. So I just wonder how many of these graduated due to protocol And that's why we didn't hear about 34, because that would be a logical explanation that you know, over the next 3 days, 34 people in total matched the protocol and were sent. But what's also interesting is the fact that the president downplayed their injuries, unscripted and without prompting. It tells me it probably wasn't unscripted and without prompting, and that perhaps it was indeed a sick out. It's been pointed out to be a sick out by some sort of crotchety staff going, oh, these fuckers are just trying to get out of duty. Trust me, they'll all be back on the front lines, blah, blah, blah. Which is still a military mentality, no matter how much it's against the military rules now or not. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if this turned out to be a sick out facilitated, basically a sick out whose noteworthiness was diluted by protocol or just outright lies. You know, maybe all 34 of them did leave the next day and they just lied. Called them protocols instead of actual injuries. You know, they weren't injured, they were taken for observation. That's not an injury, it's just observation. Whatever, you know, wordsmanship they want to use. The point is, there is a good chance that the military is saying they don't back the president. And if other countries are watching, this might be a sign that maybe the U.S. military, though formidable in equipment, has a whole lot of people who are currently in its service that might have had enough fighting, that might be ready to cast their check and go home. So, it's just interesting. That right there would be enough reason for the powers that be to obscure the fact that 34 guys just kind of did a sit out and said, fuck you, Sarge, I'm not going. Starting to please Mr. Custer. I don't want to go. They all had their please Mr. Custer moment. Decided, and see, here's the other thing about this. Again, before anybody starts getting on me about bagging on TBIs. No. I know they're real. I've had mine. No, the interesting thing is the macho mentality in the military that you don't claim that you were hurt. You don't admit that somebody rung your bell. Somebody, if you're in a boxing match with somebody and somebody cracks you really good and you can't see straight for a second, you're not going to admit it. Unless, you know, they end up knocking you out right afterwards. But if you survive it, come back and knock that guy out, you probably, or even just fight to a draw, you're probably not going to talk about how close he had you. It's just not something you're going to do. Anybody. But in the macho military, even more so. That didn't hurt. So, it's been a long time coming getting the military, the personnel themselves, to even admit that somebody rung their bell, that their head wasn't harder than rocks, or harder than the helmet, or harder than the next guy in line in his fucking platoon. Let me tell you this from somebody who used to relish in headbutts. I know. And so, that was that's a hard thing for big, strong males to admit they're injured anyway because of, at least, you know, the idea that they're less manly, that they're pussified or wimps or pansies or what have you, because they can't be as tough as whoever the toughest guy in the group is. And so that made it really hard to believe in it or to give it any credence or to think that maybe you had a problem. It wasn't just your own weakness. And again, a military that's like, get back in there. And so if you did start complaining about something like that, even though they might not be able to do anything officially, you would be labeled as untrustworthy. You can't be counted on. Oh, he's a brain injury dude, you know. Can you count on him in a foxhole, or is he going to sick out? And so it's the kind of injury that's going to end up end any upward mobility in the military for you. Okay? Even though there's nothing outward and you can do everything physical everybody else can do, the fact that that's chalked up on your record and you have to go through special protocols for any reason, no matter how justified or how precautionary they are, your advancement track is over in the military. And so nobody wants to turn in unnecessary injury. Not if you have a career in mind. Now, if you're just doing your 4 years and getting out, fuck them. Be Joe Shit the Shambag. If you're injured, go get taken care of. But if you're up for sergeant, and there's two other guys up for sergeant, and they're just as hoorah as you, well, you want to have less sick calls than them. You want to complain less. You want to make fun of them for complaining. You want to mock them and deride them so that they don't complain even when they're hurt, just so they can keep up with you. That's the mentality. So to the TBI, yo, that's a career killer. And if you're going to do that, you're not a career man, and you can't be my friend anymore. No, 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 no. You're either, you know, getting out or you're reenlisting, and there's this group and that group. And trust me, it is fragmented just so. That's the way the military is. And so it's still, right now, a career killer, a TBI. Unless they come out of this observation with nothing at all, and they never complain of it again, those guys might get some modest gains in their careers. Okay, but being in charge of anybody their age, anybody their own age, being in charge of their own peers, that's over. They're no longer fast-tracked, no matter who they were before. If they, those 34 guys, their military careers are over. The ones that are legitimately injured and aren't going to go back in, well, that, you know, that's life. That's, you can't expect more. But those that aren't very injured, those who have a mild injury that looks like it's not going to cause them any problem in their future whatsoever, their military career is still over. Advancement-wise, sure, they can put in their 20. Okay, but they're going to end their 20 as an E6, not an E8 or E9. Okay, they're going to end their 20 as a captain, not a major or a colonel. They're going to be a permanent captain or a permanent E6, E7. You know, be lucky to get the E7 kind of thing. And with that kind of tag on them, the rest of their military career would be tinged by the idea that they would like to put him out because of the TBI. They can't, so anything else that we can couple with it will do. And so, because it's, trust me, you put in your 20 and you got a TBI, they're paying for a lot of shit. They're paying for a lot of shit VA-wise, no matter what. But if you put in your 20, it's even more. Okay? If the TBI is their fault, you do the math. It's in their best interest to, for you to not finish your 20 and just get what you've already got coming, as opposed to getting even more from them. So, like I said, your career's over. And 34 soldiers decided on that day, when it looked like we were going to Iran, that they weren't toughing out this head injury. They didn't give a fuck about promotion, about their next leave, about their next assignment, about their next bonus. They don't give a damn about any of those in that moment. Their head hurt, and they were going to complain and sort it out later if it wasn't that bad. But they were heading to Germany before Trump got this war started. Again, I'm not saying it's all 34. But it might be all of them. It might be a whole wing of the room that just says, oh my God, all of our heads hurt. It must have hit directly on the building. Shook the whole building. My ears are still ringing. And all of them just said, fuck you, we're out. So, keep an eye on this one. It might be a sick out. Interesting tale of things to come. And maybe that kind of coordinated effort on a whole bunch of soldiers is just beyond the pale for you. And you don't think 34 of them could come up with it by themselves and whatnot. I didn't really say they all came up with it by themselves organically or otherwise. I just said maybe somebody started talking about it. And for those of you who think, oh, no, even still, that couldn't happen. What if it was a savvy medic? Or a group of savvy medics? What about them? Could they, in effect, cause an involuntary sick out, maybe? Could a couple savvy doctors be like, okay, you know what? Fuck this. Everybody that's even got a toothache, you're going. Oh, yep, looks like a brain injury to me. And, again, given the protocols and the scrutiny, maybe some group of pushy doctors just said, I dare you to overrule us. We followed the protocols. Does it seem more likely now, maybe? Maybe it's savvy doctors or paramedics that are helping with this sick out, either encouraging men to sick out or making them. I mean, that adds to the possibilities, right? It's certainly plausible. When we all watched MASH, right? Come on. What if somebody's playing MASH out there in Iraq for real? I mean, it's definitely a maybe, right?